Hello, Misfits. Welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We're your home for everything weird and wacky. We are your hosts, Emmy.
And Steve.
So, Steve, how's your Christmas?
It was great. How's yours?
It was good. I actually got to see all of my siblings, even in COVID time. So that
same
was,
here. It was really nice.
Yeah.
It was really nice just being with my family, you know?
Yeah. Nice a little bit quieter than usual, but...
Yeah, but it's nice to change of pace. It's nice having everyone around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Had any plans for New Year's?
I think I'm going to go up to Vermont. Might ski. We'll see. But nice. Well, it just depends, you know, and just not do anything with a bunch of random people.
Yeah.
I think what about yourself?
Hanging out with one of my friends who actually already had COVID, so I feel pretty good about seeing her.
Yeah, that's good. You gotta get some of that blood.
I know. That's happened to a few of my friends now, actually. So it's almost kind of nice because we don't have to worry about it.
Just extract their blood and inject it into yourself.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't really know how antibodies work. I'm no doctor, but disclaimer, do not do this. You shouldn't actually do what I'm saying, but Emmy should do what I'm saying, but not anyone else.
I think that's how, like, really bad diseases happen. So
yeah, I think that's how terrible bloodborne diseases spread. Don't do that,
at least I'd be safe from COVID.
Mm-hmm. So well, I was wondering this, just random aside, do vampires get like bloodborne diseases?
You know, I've actually thought about this before.
I'm just thinking, like, during the 80s when AIDS was prevalent, like, were vampires concerned about biting people and getting AIDS?
So the way I think of it is like a mosquito doesn't get AIDS.
But mosquito's not a human or wasn't once a human.
But a vampire is not really human either.
Hmm. Could a vampire spread AIDS or like other bloodborne diseases?
I feel like yes.
Oh, that's not good.
But at that point, you're going to be a vampire.
Yeah, but imagine being a vampire who's just emaciated for the rest of your life.
Oh.
That'd suck.
Yeah, that's...
Or like an infant being turned into a vampire.
Well, that's depressing, Steve.
Sorry. It was a thought I had just now.
You know, these are the important questions
that we ask
here on our podcast.
Yeah, you won't find content like this anywhere else. For better or for worse.
Depressing vampire content. It's what everyone needs these days.
Oh, for sure.
So today we are talking with Brian Weaver, who we've had on the podcast before. He is the founder of GhostQuest.net. So very excited to have him back on the show. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to be talking about Kid Nation, episode 8 or 9.
Is it 9?
I don't know.
8 and or 9. Yep. We'll know by the time we record that part, so just bear with us. I'll take a quick peek.
It's a mystery.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery today.
You don't know which episode we watched until it's too late. You should have watched all of them by now, though. You should know as a fan.
Yep.
But before that, I'd like to share with everyone a phenomenal Amazon review for a product that I don't know why anyone would ever want to purchase.
All right.
We're talking about Haribo sugar-free gummy bears 5-pound bag.
Sugar-free?
Do you know about sugar-free gummy bears and what they do to your innards?
Well, I mean, it's got to just be like fake sugar, right?
Well, you're in for a ride.
Oh, God.
Okay. So the name of this review is Just Don't Unless It's a Gift for Someone You Hate. And they gave it a 1-star review.
So can I just ask before this starts, how did you find this review?
I actually found it over a year ago, and I was just searching something because I was going to buy someone like a shitty Secret Santa gift, and I was Googling like terrible, funny Amazon reviews, and that's how I came across this. I luckily have no experience with these because they're
miserable.
I didn't
know if you were like considering buying them and just stumbled across this.
No. That sounds disgusting. Sugar-free gummy bears. Ugh.
Did you buy Jell-O. Them for your friend after this?
No, I'm a nice person. I don't hate my friends. So this is, I'm not the best reader, so we're going to see how this goes, but here we go. So Christine E. Torok writes in a review, oh man, dot, dot, dot. Words cannot express what happened to me after eating these. The gummy bear quote cleanse. If you are someone that can tolerate that sugar substitute, enjoy. If you're like the dozens of people that tried my order, run. First of all, for taste, I would rate these a 5. So good. Soft, true taste, fruit flavors, like the sugar variety.
Is she saying that a 5?
5 out of 5 on Amazon.
5 out of 5. Okay. Yeah.
I was a happy camper, but, or should I say, but, not longer after eating about 20 of these, all hell broke loose. I had a gastrointestinal experience like nothing I've ever imagined.
Oh, no.
Cramps, sweating, bloating, beyond my worst nightmare. I've had food poisoning from some bad shellfish, and that was almost like a skip in the park compared to what was going on inside me. Then came the flatulence. Heavens to Murgatory. Murgatroyd? I don't know what the hell that means. The sound, like trumpets calling the demons back to hell. The stench, like 1,000 rotten corpses vomiting. I couldn't stand to stay in one room for fear of succumbing to my own odors. But wait, there's more. What came out of me felt like someone tried to funnel Niagara Falls through a coffee straw.
Oh,
I swear, my sphincters were screaming. It felt like my delicate starfish was a gaping maw, projectile vomiting a torrential food of toxic waste.
Fucking way.
100% liquid. Flammable liquid. Napalm. It was actually a bit humorous for a nanosecond, as it was just beyond anything I can imagine, possibly. And it went on for hours. I felt violated when it was over, which I think might have been sometime in the early morning of the next day. There was stuff coming out of me that I ate at my wedding in 2005. I had 5 pounds of these innocent-looking, delicious-tasting hell bears, so I told a friend about what happened to me, thinking it had to be some type of food sensitivity I had to the sugar substitute. And in spite of my warnings and graphic descriptions, she decided to take her chances and take them off my hands. Silly woman. All the same for her, and a phone call from her while on the toilet. Because you kind of end up living in the bathroom for a spell. Telling me she really wished she would have listened. I think she was crying.
Oh my God.
Her sister was skeptical and suspected that we were exaggerating. She took them to work. Since there was still 99% of a 5-pound bag left, she works for a construction company where there are builders, roofers, house painters, landscapers, etc. Lots of people who generally have limited access to toilets on a given day. I can't imagine where all of those poor men and women pooped that day. I kept imagining men on roofs crossing their legs and trying to decide if they can make it down the ladder or if they should just jump. If you order these, best of luck to you. And please don't post a video of you during the aftershock.
Wow.
And there are more reviews similar to this, not nearly as well written, but it turns out that these things are substitute laxatives.
That is crazy. The craziest part about that is that this person kept passing the bag around.
I know.
After that happened, I mean, you'd think that they would just set it on fire.
Yeah, just like the purple Grinch ketchup. This is something that you burn at the stake.
Yeah.
You don't let anyone else experience it. It's just not fair.
Friends don't let friends eat sugarless gummy bears.
Yeah, seriously. What this made me think about initially is, what would be the worst thing you could possibly do if you're on your way out of a job and you hate everyone? I think the absolute worst thing would be to get a big thing of gummy bears and mix it with sugar-free and sugar gummy bears.
Ooh.
Like a Russian roulette. That would be the most evil thing, because some people would end up fine and others would not be in such good condition.
And that's a really good, I mean, like, people wouldn't know either. It wouldn't be like, yeah. Oh yeah, we all eat the gummy bears, we all feel like shit. Like,
yeah, I know. No one would think that.
Yeah, just be some people. And the bathroom at work would be popping.
I know. That'd be nasty. It'd be such a problem.
Such a problem.
And if you just look at the reviews for them on Amazon, these are all, like, there's another one. I mean, this one's kind of quick. Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
It's called See You in Hell, Sugar-Free Gummy Bears from 2015. It was my last class of the semester, and the final exams were 30% of our grade. After a late-night study session, I felt confident, but I had to decide between sleeping in or cooking breakfast. My eyelids chose sleep. My stomach later regretted this decision, And after several uncomfortable stomach growls, I finally decided to make a quick stop by the campus bookstore and grab a snack before my test. Since the semester was ending and everyone was going home for the semester, a lot of items were on sale, including the snacks and candies they kept up front. Being in the hungry state that I was in, I felt only logical to pick the largest yet least expensive candy in order to get more bang for my buck. And there they sat, two bags of Haribo sugar-free gummy bears. Buy one, get one free. What a deal, I thought naively. I would eat one bag before my test and one bag afterwards. As I walked to class, I gleefully chewed on those abominable little bastards, unaware of the utter mayhem they would soon unleash upon my poor, poor anus.
Wow.
I sat down at my desk as the professor informed us that due to issues with cheating in the past, restroom breaks would be prohibited until the completion of the exam. I'll give you 10 minutes to use the restroom now. This will be your last chance. Any takers? The demon bears hadn't released their unholy necromancy upon my stomach yet. So in the moments of ignorant foolishness, I remained seated, still munching on those miniature bear-shaped bombs. After the students wise enough to take the professor's offer had returned, the professor handed out the test. I was six questions in when it happened. I started subtly, wait, what the hell does that mean? I started, he must have made a typo, subtly at first, almost like a slight tingly sensation in my lower abdomen. I thought nothing of it, assuming my intestines were just doing their thing. Little did I know that my intestines were trying to desperately to warn me of the horrors that were on the horizon. By question nine happened again, but this time it was followed by a sharp pain, as if those infernal hellions had orchestrated an attack upon my colon. I fought to contain the groan that tried escaping my lips. It was at this point I began to panic. Something was going horribly wrong, and I needed to get through this test before I got any worse. By question 14, my worst fear was upon me. The Satan Bear's burning hot, liquidy, dark magic crashed against my anal sphincter like a tidal wave.
No.
I was able to close the hatch just in time, but those relentless toxic bears beat against it like orcs raining down the doors of Helm's Deep. I knew I wouldn't be able to do as much as shift in my seat without risking a breach. I kept fighting through the exam, clenching my cheeks with all my might, beads of sweat rolling down my neck. Suddenly, a loud, gurgling war cry came from my belly, and the entire class lifted their heads. At this point, nothing mattered except expelling this ungodly presence from my bowels. With 15 questions left, I promptly wrote C for every answer and ran out of the classroom. My professor yelled something, but I was too preoccupied with the volcanic eruption that needed to take place before I could find sweet, sweet relief. I burst into the restroom like the Kool-Aid man. Behind the handicap stall was empty. Sun rays from the adjacent window shone upon it as if it were a gift from God himself. It took me less than 0.5 seconds to undo my belt buckle, pull down my pants, and finally relax my weary buttocks upon the toilet seat. It took absolutely no effort to expel this demon. Almost immediately, the floodgates of hell were opened, and the damned liquefied souls of an entire bag worth of gummy. After 30 more minutes of this, I immediately went home, dug a hole in my backyard, and burned the remaining bag of gummy bears. I leave with this. Do not, I repeat, do not eat these spawns of Satan. Not only did they cause me to fail my final test, but the anguish I experienced is something I wouldn't wish upon anyone, not even my worst enemy. The only place these godforsaken hellbears belong are buried deep below the earth's surface.
Wow.
Yes.
Like, how much do you think of that is real?
I mean, I think it's an exaggeration, but most of their reviews that are on there that are not as well written as these two talk about like people regretting buying them because they're pooping their brains out. But I don't know.
What's the rating on Amazon out of 5?
They have a 4.6 out of 5.
Interesting.
Maybe I should read a 5-star review to be fair and balanced. Okay, so the first 5-star review is, I've had a long battle of constipation due to my extremely poor diet of burgers and pizza. I bought this bag of gummy bears hoping it would help me lose a little weight. Little did I know, I would piss food out my ass. I dropped from 260 pounds to 215 in just a few months using these little beauties. Everyone's talking about how they make you poop. Even the 5-star reviews.
All right. Well, I'm surprised that they don't just take down the listing. I mean, like, it can't be worth it.
Yeah. What the hell? This review is insane. It's a 2-star review. Hi, everyone. Since I grew up with Haribo candy in Germany, I know how the original flavor is supposed to be. This is my 4th order of these Haribo gummy bears in the 5-pound bulk bag. The flavor of the previous 3 orders of Haribo bears, made in Germany, made in Turkey, were identical or almost identical to the original ones I had in Germany. The size of the gummy bears from all my four orders was smaller than the original ones in Germany. This person wrote a 2-star review because they weren't perfectly similar to the ones you grew up eating.
Well, and also, like, food is different in every country. Like,
I know.
Wow, that really took us on a journey, Steve. Thank you for that.
I know. That was quite the trip. All right.
It's making me think of a very funny restaurant review that I read, but that's something for another episode.
All right, we can save it. So, I guess let's jump into the episode.
Yeah, so here's Brian from Ghost Quest. Hello, Misfits. We have a very special guest here for you today. It is Brian Weaver. He is the founder and creator of GhostQuest.net, which is one of the internet's largest databases for haunted locations, urban legends, and folk tales in the United States. So Brian was one of our first interviews ever, maybe our first.
He was our first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So our
You're the first person I've ever interviewed.
Yeah. So you guys know him for that if you've been listening for a while, but welcome back, Brian.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I forgot I was your first interview. That was a fun conversation.
Too. Yeah. That was
pretty
fun.
Thank you guys for having me back.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. It definitely helps having you on our second episode.
Because that's good. Yeah.
It was
you guys jumped right awesome, in. So
thank you. Yeah, we jumped in head first.
Yes, yes,
absolutely.
It's the best way to do it. You learn a lot that way. That's what I did with my website. So
yeah, I mean that's how we did our first episode. We had all this planning stuff, and then I think I said something to Emmy like, "Let's practice run through," and then we sort of said, "Screw it," and we just did the first episode on the
spot. That's awesome. Yeah. If it flows and it comes organically, that's the best. So yeah.
I'm definitely better at this than I was back in October.
And now we have mics. Yeah, so we probably
you guys sound great.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm so yes. upset. Last week, I had my mic all plugged in, but I forgot to go into the Zoom settings and change it to make it my Yeti. And it was just sounded terrible. At least, I don't know what other people thought, but for me editing it, especially with Emmy's mic actually being on, just the comparison's horrendous to listen to.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I've had that happen because I have three microphones. I have one that's like built into these headphones that I have no control over. Mm-hmm. Then I have my condenser mic, which you're hearing me on now. And then I have like a gaming headset for when I play games, and that has a microphone. So it gets a little bit confusing. My computer just picks one at random. I feel like the default settings don't matter.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate, but it's good.
Yeah. Well, you guys sound awesome this time.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. The sound quality is actually definitely worth the money. If anyone
Absolutely.
Is also a podcaster out there and doesn't have a mic, get a mic.
Definitely. Yeah. With my YouTube videos, the first one I started, I recorded it on my PlayStation 4 wireless headphones. I don't have a PlayStation, but the headphones work with computer. Mm-hmm. And listening to my video in comparison to other videos, after the first video, I bought a new mic, and it was worth it. It was so worth it.
Yeah. Okay, my fan is acting up today. I think it's Brian's presence.
Probably. My space heater has like, it's doing this like grunting thing. Maybe it's calling out to your fan. They're trying to make a connection.
Yeah, probably. Seriously.
I do bring the tech issues as a former IT guy. They kind of follow me everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's up. It's like it only turns on when the light's on. And it's like, that's so.
I mean, think you told me this last time you were complaining about the same thing.
At least it stays off when the light's off. So it's not like it's just turning on in the middle of the night. But still, it's the stupidest goddamn thing.
It's a ghost, probably.
Maybe.
I'll write a book about it.
All right. Yeah, please do. You can have a whole chapter called Haunted Appliances, and my fan can be like the star attraction.
Yep.
You've released what, like three books since we last spoke?
I think when we first spoke, I had just released my first book, which was the Folklore and Haunted Locations Guide New York, where I talk about over 300 allegedly haunted locations, you know, ghost stories, folklore stuff. And since then, I've released the Folklore and Haunted Locations Guide Massachusetts, And I talk about like the Salem witch trials, the Lizzie Borden house. It's a really, historically, it's so interesting. And then my third book is the Folklore and Haunted Locations Guide Michigan, which I just finished. So, and just so people don't think I'm cranking out one book a month, the first two were things that I had already written on my website that I just needed to format and kind of put into book form. Mm-hmm. Actually, several years went into all this. So just so there's no confusion there. But yeah, so those are my three books. And then I have like a YouTube series that goes along with them. So
that's awesome. And then I guess another question I had for you is, I know you said you wanted your first like investigation. Have you done that again since or no?
No, nope. That was my first. And unless somebody with, you know, all the expensive gear and equipment invites me on another one, it's probably going to be my last for a while. Because I will say some of the gear and the travel is quite expensive, but it was such a cool experience. We got to stay overnight in a haunted castle in Vermont. It was such a crazy experience. It was awesome.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
So Brian, of the three books that you've released, what's the state that you'd say is the most haunted?
Oh gosh. Definitely Michigan. Well, you know, it's really,
I was not expecting that answer.
most haunted is relative, because each state I feel like has its areas of extreme energy. Like Massachusetts, Boston and Salem both have a lot of history, the American Revolution, stuff like that, you know, the witch trials. Those places are haunted. But I would say like the most haunted city I've written about probably is Detroit, because there was just so many ones there. And in my Michigan book, there's actually a lot about like Al Capone and mobster activity during the American alcohol prohibition. Yeah, a lot of stuff like that. I'll send you guys a copy of the ebook.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
I don't know. It's really hard to say because each state has its own areas. And like New York, there were a lot of Revolutionary War era battles, you know, like these haunted forts, and a lot of Native American history in all three states. It's really hard to say. I don't know, man. I will say, of all the states I've looked into, California has like a ridiculous amount of ghost stories. So
it's interesting. This might be a terrible question, but what's the least haunted place you've ever researched?
Delaware.
Oh my God.
Probably Delaware. Delaware. Yeah. There's like 20 haunted places in Delaware. I don't know.
I buy that.
But Delaware, notorious for their cover-ups, right? So who knows?
Who knows?
Yes, their embezzlement schemes.
Yeah. So do you guys want to get into some alien talk now?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to start off by talking about this Alien Federation. So just a quick overview of what happened. There's this guy named Hayam Ased, who was a high-ranking official and like well-respected guy in Israel. I think he was like part of their space force or whatever, or defense force.
Space security chief.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Space security chief. And he basically came out in the Jerusalem Times recently and told everyone that there are aliens who, there's like a galactic federation that only the U.S. and Israel are a part of, and they don't want us to know they exist.
Yeah, interesting story. And I had read the headlines, but I didn't read any of the articles until like just this morning, because I knew we were going to talk about it a little bit. But yeah, this guy was the former, it says the former space security chief of Israel. He's 87 years old now. And I guess from reading this article, he basically just says he has nothing to lose at this point. So why not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What a guy. What a hero.
Some of the details in this are pretty funny, though. Like,
he
says that there's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens, and they've signed a contract with us to do experiments here.
Yes. And I had a question about that. What language was it written in? I
That's
just want to know.
That's a great question. Also,
can I see it? Like, I'm curious.
Does a contract mean anything to them? I mean, do they?
I was going to say, does an alien contract hold up in a U.S. court?
Yeah. I mean, how is it enforced?
Yeah. And also they say that they want our help to help them discover the fabric of the universe. I just am like, why? We don't know anything.
Yeah, we know less than they do.
I know. And apparently, like, we sent a bunch of astronauts to Mars that, like, live in an underground city with these aliens to do, like, physics experiments. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but, mm-hmm. like, I have so many questions.
I know.
Yeah.
For sure.
And another funny thing is he said that President Trump knows about it, but he's almost leaked it, like, 100 yeah. times, which is not surprising in the slightest.
Oh my god, I'd have a hard time not yeah. spilling yeah. that one. You just have a few
well,
drinks.
Well, I don't understand, like, guys, guess what? Is, like, if they're able to shut Trump up, the consequences must be so severe. Why the hell would this guy say anything now?
I was going to say, yeah, they probably have some consequences. And it does say in the article, basically, he says that he's got nothing to lose because he's so old now. And I read a few articles. There was one on NBC, there was one mm-hmm. on Forbes, and there was one on Fox. So they all kind of gave little different tidbits here and there. But a lot of what he said was like, he's got nothing to lose, and that he chose now because people are a lot more open-minded about mm-hmm. it. Like, he basically said if he had tried to do this 5 years ago, his career would have been over. He probably, you know. Yeah, so, I mean, and it makes sense, kind of, because it doesn't seem like he's, like, trying to get fame or publicity really out of it.
He did just release a book, though.
Okay. See, that's something I heard on Reddit, but I couldn't figure out what the book was called. Okay, so
I couldn't either, but NBC referenced the NBC. I watched the video in the NBC article as well, and they referenced okay. the book. They didn't say what it's called, though.
Okay, yep, all right.
So that's a red flag for me.
Well, if there's any time yeah. when you get brushed under the rug, though, it's now.
Oh, yeah.
Right, true.
There's so much else going on.
I'm so up in the air about it. Like, I don't know what to think. And I think these things, like a fine wine, kind of age with time in my mind mm-hmm. and how I process it all. Do you guys remember, like, earlier this year, I think the Pentagon came out with a statement saying that they basically confirmed that a lot of these videos, like, you know, those videos of Navy pilots, like, mm-hmm. following a UFO, they've confirmed that we don't know what those are. Essentially. Yeah. So it's like,
but they didn't admit they're alien.
Right. Just that we don't know. So, mm-hmm. and that's what I say too. Cause I mean, like, I personally believe in aliens. I believe that there's such a small chance that aliens don't exist. Like, that they have to, I mean, the right. universe is huge.
Mm-hmm. My concern though is, what if the aliens that are reaching out to us are, like, the shittiest aliens? Like, what if they're trying to align themselves with us?
Yeah.
And then we get screwed.
I agree with that. Like, yeah,
it's, maybe we should put out feelers, try and find, like, all the other aliens, be like, hey, do you want to be with these people? Or is this going to, like, screw us over in the long run? Like, maybe we want to be with the popular kids. Maybe these are, like, the non-popular kids.
Yeah, we hang out with the non-popular aliens, and then just bigger, cooler aliens come beat us up.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. We don't know.
Even communicate with these aliens is, like, the craziest part to me.
Right. That's kind of why I jokingly asked what language the contract was in, because it's like, I guess if they've been coming to Earth for thousands of years, like a lot of people think, I guess they'd probably know the language, or like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they have, like, the fish they put in their ear that just lets them understand.
Yeah, true.
That could be it.
Yeah, could be.
And back to what you were saying earlier, Brian, about, like, the inevitability of aliens.
Yeah.
I was doing a little research today, and there was actually a study published just last week, and they have this new mathematical model that suggests any alien life in our galaxy is likely very young, and that's because they believe that intelligent civilizations self-annihilate. Which does not bode well for
What would make them think that? I don't know why they think that.
and they didn't give any explanation as to how or why, but that was the model that they came up with.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
That does make sense, because if we didn't have that self-destructive tendency on our planet, we'd probably be in the space age by now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, oh, for sure. Definitely. That's an interesting way to look at it, though, where we're the oldest thing that exists because everything older has just killed itself.
Right. In this galaxy. But to counter that point, and I'm not a scientist, so this is just my crackpot opinion, but like, if you believe in the Big Bang theory and that the universe is constantly expanding, which, you know, astronomers and scientists have kind of agreed on, because you can observe the space around us and see that everything is kind of expanding. So that's kind of been agreed on. So my theory is that if we can see planets in every direction as far as the eye can see, we must be somewhere, like the Big Bang happens, so everything close to the center of the Big Bang would be the newest life in the universe. Mm-hmm. So we have to be somewhere in the middle, meaning the further away from the bang you get, the older that material is and the longer life could have existed there. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, you know, Emmy, what you said, it's like, I'd have to read into it, but I definitely can see how that would be true. But in the even bigger picture, it's like, how many billions of light years exist that would bring us to space that's older than what, you know, that it existed for billions of years before this material even came out of the Big Bang sort of deal. Like, you know, and I know there's like, there's literally nothing you can look up to try and prove this. This is just something I'm saying, but that's kind of throughout my life how I've always justified that I do believe there are aliens somewhere, you know.
Like, oh, just, for sure.
It seems very likely to me that there is.
I mean, there could be aliens on Venus.
Yes,
no under the... that since they discovered it. It's a little bit of a bummer.
Really?
I mean, there probably has been. I think it's just been buried because COVID and everything related to that.
Right. It's the year that everything is crazier than us finding aliens.
Yeah, I know.
I have read some like conspiracy theories that some people think the government's like dropping breadcrumbs with with the alien stuff this year to kind of build us up to a bigger reveal about them. So
I mean, that'd be pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, and when I made my notes for things I wanted to mention, that was one of the things, like, could this just be like a social engineering thing where they're like kind of preparing us slowly? And like, a lot of people think that Hollywood movies, for example, they'll put like the reason aliens became so popular in the 80s or whenever in movies is because they're kind of trying to desensitize us to the strangeness. Like, because if that happened in like the 1920s, people would have lost their minds. Like would be chaos, you know?
Yeah.
So I can definitely see that. And it is possible. And I've also seen other conspiracies where it's like, they're going to introduce the aliens so that like the New World Order can take over the government and stuff because people are going to be afraid. Like, I've seen some crazy ones.
All right, all I have to say though is, before they are announced, everyone out there, share this podcast, make us get big so we can interview the aliens before Joe Rogan does.
Yeah, there you go. I would love to be on that podcast.
Oh, for sure. The goal is, if there are aliens, we need to find a way to interview them before Joe Rogan.
And you have to at least ask the aliens if ghosts are real.
And I can also ask
what happens when we die.
I'll steal Joe Rogan's whole thing. I'll ask them questions about chimpanzees too, and be like, "Do you know what chimpanzees are?" And I'd be like, "You guys gotta try some what's it called?
DMT."
DMT. I was about to say peyote, but that's not what I meant.
Peyote contains DMT, so that would be correct.
Let's do some peyote and watch hairless chimps wrestle.
Oh yeah, that sounds awesome. Can we just do that anyway?
Yeah. Without the aliens? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, aliens or no aliens. Let's do it. And I've heard that like DMT makes you like see the fabric of the universe. So like, maybe we'll see aliens if we do it.
Maybe.
Can I talk about, should I stop?
Go for it. No, talk about whatever.
Okay. Well,
we're listed as explicit, so you can say whatever you want.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We just want to stay away from ripping on QAnon too much because those people are scary. Okay. I did that once. We didn't get any negative backlash, but I don't need to make fun of QAnon more than once.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because like at first it kind of seemed legit, and then like over time I've just heard some crazy things.
I mean, they're the ones, yeah, I think that there's like a pedophile ring. Not that we're talking about QAnon right now, but I think there's like a pedophile ring in a pizza parlor that Hillary Clinton runs.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And she eats the children.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they also the ones who think that there's like children inside of what's that furniture place? Not IKEA.
I don't know, man.
Home Goods, maybe? I don't know. I'll just say it's Home Goods.
I'll have to go check.
It's not like that. They think that like there are slave children hidden in cupboards there that you buy.
Interesting.
Like, I don't understand like what that means, but
I mean, maybe I can get one for dishes. I really don't like doing dishes.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I can give that child a better life than he could get in an IKEA cabinet. I'm just saying.
Like a little
dolly. Seriously.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's get off the QAnon topic, because those people scare me.
Right, yeah, we don't need Steve to...
They're not scary people. It's that they're insane, and insane people are terrifying, so I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Right. I gotcha. I do.
I don't want death threats.
I don't do any politics on my Twitter or anything like that. For that reason, because, I mean, anybody with a radical ideology is scary because both sides find kind of a way to dehumanize the other in the fact that, you know, if your beliefs don't align with them, then you're a this or a that. And, you know, it's crazy, especially in these times. I personally am somewhat frightened of the political climate here today. It's weird, man. Weird
times. It is a weird, weird time.
Well, maybe we'll be in government.
Better.
Something I feel to like look forward
it'd
to.
Be fair. I feel like they'd treat us like pets. They'd feed us. They'd, you know, give us like toys, and it'd be nice. Who knows?
Yeah.
If we get the good.
I think something else weird that came out of this year was the monoliths in Utah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was interesting too.
Yeah. Has anything recently come out of that?
They keep appearing everywhere. I keep seeing articles that they've appeared in other places, in other countries and stuff. But I don't know. I feel like maybe some of it could be strange. But I feel like people have kind of taken the hype of it. Like I feel like some of them are just people doing it as a prank or something like that. It's,
If aliens are going to give us a sign, why would it be a little like a metal tube in Utah?
Yeah. I feel like there probably is a purpose. Like, there probably was a reason that it's there, but...
It was some artists.
Yeah, I think I did hear something like that.
Some people took it apart, and it wasn't one solid piece of metal, right? It was like...
Oh.
It was bolted together. Okay. So, it was clearly not like aliens, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I mean, could it be a symbol from the Illuminati, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Well, it's been there since like 2015, but no one took it seriously until Bureau of Land Management found it.
Right. And didn't it like appear on Google like Earth or something like that too?
Yeah, it was in 2015, because it's been there since 2015, but no one of like significance has like discovered it, so no one cared. But once the Bureau of Land Management was literally counting sheep and discovered it became a big deal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Once a famous YouTuber found it, it was all the rage.
Yeah, seriously.
I feel like it's kind of like a weird buzz thing. I hate to be a poo-pooer, but...
It's just factually not a monolith, though.
Well, true, yeah.
Unfortunately.
An obelisk, perhaps? I don't know.
An obelisk.
I don't know what you'd call it if it's not one.
It's just art.
It's beautiful. It's very shiny and reflective. How do they keep it that shiny being in the desert? You think it would get like dusty and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Maybe it's sprayed with something, or maybe it's in the valley.
True.
It doesn't get like sand on it.
Yeah, true. People have secrets, I guess.
Yeah.
If I put it there, I'd go out there every week and I'd clean it, though.
Yeah, shine it up.
With Windex.
Another interesting thing, I'm just listing off the alien news of the week. So I think it was yesterday or the day before, they detected a radio signal from, I didn't write down the name, but the star nearest by our star. And they say that the radio signal may be human in origin, but it's interesting because this star has at least two planets who are like temperate and rocky like Earth.
Right. It was from Proxima Centauri.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's promising too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really cool. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like radio signals, I mean, have been around for 100 years at this point, maybe a little less. But, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of tech to do that. It's like electricity and whatever, like, transmitter they use. Like, in the grand scheme of all technology, it's interesting to think about, like, what else would it come from? Why else would we be getting that signal, you know?
Yeah, I think they're thinking it might have been like some kind of satellite passing by or interfering, but...
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys remember in 2013, there was this video of Paul Hellyer? He's Canada's former defense minister, and he was in Congress in Washington, I guess, talking to several congressmen, basically saying that Canada had made contact with aliens and that there were several different species of aliens. There was like the grays and the tall whites and like something or other. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. Sounds a little bit racist to just call them what color they are, but
I didn't think Canada had those capabilities, so I don't buy it.
Well, yeah, probably. I don't know, but this guy also got the Canadian government to pay for a landing pad for spaceships of that type. And there is a video of him, like it probably is just on YouTube. I'll try and find it, but I remember seeing it and I'm like, okay, this appears to definitely be in Congress and there is a guy saying this, and I didn't know who the guy was at the time. So the defense minister of Canada, Paul Hellyer, and I looked into him, and he's almost like kind of the Pentagon, like in one person, maybe not in one person, but you know how like in America our military, the Army and the Navy and the Air Force, they all coordinate as one cohesive unit?
Yeah.
Well, Canada's military didn't used to do that, and he is the guy who was in charge of uniting all of their military branches since 2005, I guess, had been part of some group in Canada that monitors outer space. And since 2005, he's basically been saying the same thing, that like there's aliens, they have contacted us or we've contacted them in some way. And so I was thinking, like, you know, over the last like 10 years, we've had a lot of maybe social engineering with, you know, people dropping breadcrumbs here and there. But then we've also had some really blunt and blatant disclosures, like from the Pentagon earlier this year. Canada's former defense minister was kind of an impressive one, because there's also that video of him kind of talking to Congress, and he's like very explicit about it too. He doesn't beat around the bush or anything. Whether that video is real or not, like, I always question everything. I'm really a skeptic at heart, so I like to overanalyze and think of, you know, I'll never be commit to believing or not believing something, but I will say that, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of high ranking people. And then there was that one guy who like claims that he got into like a gunfight with aliens while guarding like a government base. I forget his name, but he like wrote a book and I think he died recently.
Interesting.
Yeah, to me it sounded really crazy at first as well, but then like I watched an entire documentary about him and it that was somewhat compelling. I can't really remember his name or what it was called. It was like, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago at least. Back when I used to watch those things more for fun than to actually, you know, have conversations about them and stuff, I wish
yeah.
I could remember a little more details. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Think about.
And I'm just reading about Hellier right now, that Canadian official, and he said that one of the reasons why the aliens have made contact is so they can teach us how to be more environmentally sustainable.
That's nice. I remember he said that they knew like the key to infinite free green energy. And then I think there are some conspiracies that like we have received these schematics for like, or we have developed schematics to produce like, you know, emissions-free vehicles that run forever off the power of the sun and stuff like that. And conspiracy people will believe that, you know, those people were silenced by the government, or that those patents were purchased for the sake of never letting them see the light of day. I've heard lots of stuff like that. And
the thing with the patents though, that's easy to disprove is there's a major public database of all the patents.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can't own a patent, like you can't patent something to never use it and then hide it from the patent thing, because then someone will just steal that technology.
Right.
I mean, then it's not really a patent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. So what do you think about like those conspiracies of people who like see that they have patented like viruses? Like I think I remember when that Ebola thing happened, somebody posting a link to a patent that some biotech firm or like some government had for the Ebola virus, which some people took to mean that it was like a completely man-made creation, like, and didn't exist in nature.
Never heard that.
Okay. Cross the line. Just kidding.
I've never heard that. I mean,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Ebola is from bat poop, but bats are disgusting creatures. They cause a lot of bad things.
Aw, they're cute.
But they're gross. Their poop is the cause of Ebola, one of the most horrific viruses around today.
Maybe that's a conspiracy and that they just want you to hate bats because bats eat mosquitoes. And that's
big mosquito.
Something I like about them. No, they eat mosquitoes.
No, I'm saying big mosquito is trying to give bats a bad rap.
Yeah. Yeah. Big mosquito industry. Yep. You're right. Wow. The conspiracy hole goes really deep on this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, though. I love those kind of things, just as like more of a thought experiment than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not saying that I believe that, but that is a conspiracy that I've heard and that a lot of people do believe. I think even syphilis might have been one of them, because that spread out. Like a lot of those ones that started in Africa, the people we were doing like experiments on people and all kinds of stuff.
But syphilis has been around for like... before science was a thing.
You're right. And what I'm thinking of is, didn't they inject syphilis as like an experiment?
Yeah, the Tuskegee study.
Okay, that's
but that was to that
was
to,
real.
That was very real, and that was to test the effects of syphilis. Yeah. And that's the reason there's all like the protections now in human trials, because those poor men were
neglected,
known treatment for a horrible disease just so they could test how it affects you.
Yeah, that's completely messed up. Yeah, honestly, that's
terrible. But now there are all sorts of protections. I forget what it's called, but
yeah, human rights maybe. I don't know. One of the things that I've also heard is that you can't patent something that occurs in nature, meaning like you couldn't patent a plant. You'd have to that's why like a lot of companies
that one's
are trying,
tricky because Monsanto has patented plants,
right? But they're all genetically modified.
Yeah,
and that's the conspiracy also, is that they want to do away with real seeds, so if you ever want to plant anything ever again, it has to be bought. And like
I mean, unfortunately, it's a little bit more than a conspiracy.
I agree. Yeah. A lot of these things, sometimes I feel like they're not really conspiracies anymore, but they used to be.
Like, it sounds like someone watched the documentary on how evil Monsanto is and then was like, this is a conspiracy. It's like, no, this is just unfortunately fact.
Yes. Yeah. Monsanto. Yeah. That's a name I haven't heard in a while, but yeah, definitely the truth. From what I understand, you can't patent a normal like seed for corn. Yeah. You'd have to like, they genetically modify it so that I think like the insecticide is built into the seed. And so they can patent that because they've created something that
they also make before. It. So the seed can't like, so they
germinate so after
everything's an annual. There's no perennials because exactly. They make more money by selling the seeds. And if you have any right. of your seeds, if any of your like natural seeds get tainted with theirs, you have to throw out right. the entire batch. It's insane. Ugh.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard that they do the controlled like the seeds can't reproduce past their first like growth cycle like most plants. You know, you'll have an apple tree and the apple falls and those seeds make another apple tree. It's like that doesn't happen. They've genetically altered them to not mm-hmm. procreate anymore. And then that falls into another great conspiracy about how if you eat genetically modified food, it like destroys your fertility. Cause I mean like whatever the conspiracy is there, but that's something I've heard. And it's like all of these conspiracies, they're so interesting because a lot of them are based on little tiny grains of truth somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so like, I love researching different conspiracies because I can totally see how people believe them and it's interesting, you know, and someday you might find out it's true. Like who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they give like explanations for things that are scary or people
right.
can't explain like something Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it's almost comforting. It's almost comforting to like have an answer that the government just made it up.
Right. Yeah. And in a way I feel like a lot of people use religion to that extent too, because they want an answer and they try and use it to explain why things are the way they are. Like, you know, different religions believe maybe in reincarnation to explain. I believe it's Hindu where they have the caste system where it's like if you're born as a peasant, there's a reason for it. It's because you were bad or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Or like, you know, different religions have different philosophies and theories that in my mind make sense because we're all just kind of trying to understand that mystery of, you know, what is all this? What does it mean? And all that. And conspiracy people are kind of like that too. They want to find an answer because some things there's just no logical explanation for. And, you know, you have to wrap your mind around it,
mm-hmm.
right.
I guess.
Have you guys seen that Flat Earther documentary on Netflix?
No, I actually haven't. Nope. It just annoys me too much because they're just objectively wrong.
It's actually really good.
Well, Steve, have you ever seen the Earth from space? Gone. Sorry.
No.
Me neither.
But I've seen pictures.
Same. I'm just kidding. I feel like that's the main argument most of them give me, though.
All right. Yeah. So before anyway, I say that, it reminds me of an aside. So there is one of these big flat earther guys who created his own rocket to prove that the Earth was flat, and his spacecraft went lower than a commercial airliner flies. So we could have gotten on an airplane and had a better view. Instead, this idiot made his own rocket and died.
Oh, no, he died? That's.
And he flew lower. He didn't die the initial time, but.
Wasn't that recently?
Yeah, that was like last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, the tragedy of it all, too, is like he's trying to prove that the Earth is flat. Yeah, and then it turns out that he could have taken an airplane. And the best part, too, is apparently he was a stuntman. And after his death, it leaked that he thought that everyone who believed in the flat earth was stupid. And he just used it to get attention and sell money, to sell his books and like his show and stuff.
Some people, man. Well, he's probably one of the more intelligent ones then. But so we just cut Emmy off, and I want to hear about this documentary. Like, what was it about? Like, what did they say?
So it was more about the community than anything else. Okay. About like these huge flat earther conventions and
you
know, how they all like follow each other on YouTube and like these people, some of them, it's like they don't even really believe it that strongly. They just like to have the community of people who are all together.
Yeah.
It was kind of cute, to be honest.
That kind of makes sense. Yeah. And I feel like as our society deteriorates, you're going to see more and more groups like that pop up of people just looking for other people to identify with, which I get. That makes sense. Here's a weird question. When I was like in middle school in like the early 2000s, I found a website when I was just goofing around at school about the Flat Earth Society. And that's how when I first found out about it, me and my friends thought it was kind of funny. But this website, and I want to say it was like an old 1990s kind of website. It looked like crap. It didn't look official, but I want to say it was flatearthsociety.org. And on the site, there were some very disturbing and threatening messages, such as, we have infiltrated your schools and education system and the police, and we're going to take over. Is that still like a thing that they try and do? I don't know.
I don't know.
It was very strange and disturbing to me as like a 13-year-old kid. Yeah. I was like, wait, are these people real?
Yeah.
I mean, just off of that, I'm getting a weird flashback now to eighth grade. My earth science teacher, the first day of class, told us that the earth was flat.
Jesus.
And then we never talked about it again.
Oh my
God. Let me just present this fact to you. No one questioned it ever.
He talked about it for like 15 minutes. There was a PowerPoint, and I don't know if he was just trying to fuck with us or what, but it was so bizarre. And then we never talked about it again. We went into like the layers of the earth and everything. Like,
interesting.
Oh my God. That just gave me a freaking, oh my God, I remembered something.
Gonna work through our PTSD together, guys.
This is insane. Right. So it reminded me.
Tearing off the trauma.
So when I was in sixth grade, I had this science teacher, because there's a science then, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember fifth grade. His name was Mr. I. Bald man, really weird, always wore a lab coat, talked kind of funny, genuinely believed he was an alien.
Oh, God.
And, oh, my God, he was the weirdest fucking man I've ever met in my life. And I forgot he existed until Evan brought that story up. And he used to go on these weird, like, alien shows on the History Channel, not, like, ancient aliens, and be an expert witness. And they just wander through the woods. And then he was such a weird guy. At one time, he told us that there are people in Manhattan who inject strangers with AIDS to try and get a vaccine made.
Well, I mean, maybe that happened once or twice, but I'd have to be presented with stronger evidence to believe that.
Science teacher.
Oh my God.
I forgot he existed until you brought the flat earth thing. Oh my God.
Jeepers. Yeah, how did they let these guys in? I had a meteorology professor in college who didn't believe in global warming. And he said that for our final paper, we had to write, it could be about anything we wanted, but it had to be meteorology related. He told anyone if they wrote their paper on global warming, he would fail them instantly. And I did, and he did fail me instantly.
Oh my God.
I know. Jeez. But I was like, look, I basically nicely and presenting factsly told him he was an idiot. And,
oh my God.
I mean, I didn't rudely say that, but I was like, here's why there is proof of global warming. Cause like there is, I mean, whether it's man-made or not, it's kind of a thing. Actually I told in my essay that I was like, I don't like the phrase global warming. And I agree with you. I believe it should be called global climate change because the temperature of the earth does fluctuate over periods of time, both up and down. So in CO2 gas, whatever, could be part of it, probably is part of it, honestly.
There's claims.
Yeah.
Direct quote.
I don't want to offend anybody.
Okay, so we can offend people on this because this is a fact.
Okay. I don't want my Twitter followers to all unfriend me. Okay?
I take a hard stand on this one.
No.
Climate change is real. There's evidence of the carbon. So there's two different types of carbon isotopes. There's like C12 and C13, right? So I think it's C13. This is going to be quick. C13 is like locked up only in coal and oil, right? And since the Industrial Revolution, there is a direct correlation between the increase in C13 in the atmosphere and the rise in temperature. And C13, like I said, only exists when it's locked up in oil or coal. So there's no way to disprove that. And also, we're just oversaturated with carbon now in our atmosphere. So there's no denying that we're putting way too much CO2 in the atmosphere. Sure, you maybe make an argument that it's just a correlation, doesn't prove causation, but there's a very, very strong correlation between the two.
Yeah.
Agreed. And that's just one thing I don't want to super bash on is people that don't believe it. I agree with you, Steve. We need to clean up the planet, even if that's not the truth, just because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
We're really
covered. I put on my tinfoil hat just for this interview. I wish we were on camera.
It was good. We went down some interesting paths.
I know. I like our conversations. I feel like we're just up for anything.
Yeah. That's where we are for the most part. Yeah. We're gonna probably want to stay clear of like reptilian shadow governments and stuff, but like besides that, we're game for most things.
I don't know. That seems awesome.
that's fishy territory though, you know.
Good pun, Steve. Good pun.
Thank you.
I gotta say one thing I really do like about your guys' podcast is that like you present it in a way that's fun and it's, you know, we have a good laugh and it's not super duper serious, but you know, we did talk about some serious shit.
Mm-hmm. We definitely did. That.
Sorry. Like, I mean, Ebola conspiracies, you know.
Our goal is just be informed what we say and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to listen to. That's what I like about you guys.
Thank you.
You know, other podcasts talk about the same stuff, and I listen to those podcasts too. But it's like, it's always refreshing to just have kind of a goof around laugh about it because it's like, you know, we're all busy trying to solve that mystery. But, you know, like, I really do want to know what language is that alien contract written in? Come on.
Yeah.
No, I mean, who does?
Seriously, it's like, for me, it's like, just because I enjoy this stuff doesn't mean I necessarily believe in it, right? I'm very interested in learning about it, but I don't listen to a ton of other like podcasts in our exact space just because like, I don't want to copy people.
Yes. Yeah. It's easy to get an idea from somebody and run with it. And
yeah,
you guys are a misfit in a good way. Like, you know, it's like you kind of stand out for that reason. I feel
Thank
like.
You.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we just try and have a good time.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah. It's nice. It's good to just, you know, kind of like if it weren't 10 or 11 in the morning, I'd have maybe had a couple beers before I came on, but, you know.
No, it's like, that's the goal, is we want to just have a fun, inclusive environment, unless you don't believe in climate change.
Then get out. Get out. I'm just kidding. Because, I mean, on that note, the people who don't believe in climate change, it's interesting because somebody posted something on Twitter earlier basically saying, you know, there's so much information out there now. There's no excuse to be ignorant about anything. And I almost responded, but it was like a big account. I knew nobody would respond to me anyway. Mm-hmm. And what I kind of wanted to say is like, it's kind of a double-edged sword because now people can just kind of pick and choose facts that quote unquote facts that already fit what they already believe. So it's like,
oh,
those
for sure.
Climate change deniers and flat earthers, they can cherry pick tiny little facts and half truths that fit into the context of what they believe, and it's like you can't really tell them they're wrong because they to them they've found the truth, and it's like, good for you, I guess.
Part of it too is that a lot of these people have made it their whole identity, and they're everyone they're around, so identity is denying climate change, so there's nothing you can ever say to them to change their minds because they'd have to fundamentally change who they are and reject all of their like community. So it's just, that's the problem is that they build a community around stuff, which is the same issue with like QAnon, why it's so dangerous is that these people believe things that maybe you or I think are insane, but to them, it's part of their community. It's what they genuinely believe. They're never going to change. So they can't just reject these beliefs.
Yeah. Right.
Because
it's yeah. almost like an online cult. Like you get siloed
oh, God,
in
I know.
Different realities. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. One thing about, they call it like identity politics, but it kind of applies to certain beliefs. But basically, if you identify with an idea and somebody challenges that idea and like that idea, like, okay, say you do think that that Pizzagate scandal and everyone's a pedophile and stuff like that. And you feel like by speaking out against it, you're defying them. That's how you define your virtue, your character virtue. And somebody challenges that, you basically take it as them telling you you're not a good person. And like it goes down to that core of your identity in psychologically, I think within, I read an article about this. I don't know how much is behind it, but basically what the article was saying is that it triggers your fight or flight response because of the cognitive dissonance. And because you mm-hmm. basically see it as somebody is attacking you. And yeah. That's why people, when you, like I've asked people a question before, like people who believe something different, I'll be like, why do you believe? And they'll get offended and they'll go on the offensive and they'll start an argument with you and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the fight or flight response. It's like, they're not going to back down, but they're not going to punch you in the face either. So they're going to like get kind of aggressive verbally with you. And it's something I see a lot when you ask people a question they don't have an answer to, because, mm-hmm. and like, I'm not even saying that you're stupid because you don't have an answer. I just, hey, maybe I've given you something to think about. I'm big into like Socrates and Plato and the Socratic method, which is basically you just ask people questions until they come to their own truths and realizations. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've always lived my life. I don't know. People tell me I'm an intellectual, quote unquote, but I mean, like to me, that just seems logical. Like if you're presented with new facts, like try and
reassess.
See. Yeah. Yes. Always reassess. And even if, you know, I take it a step further where I'm like, okay, I don't believe this, but let me try and get into the head of the person saying this and see how it fits into their paradigm. It makes it easier to relate to people. Like people kind of cut those bridges off, and it makes me really sad in an age where, you know, we're all so connected digitally, but like emotionally and mentally, mm-hmm. we're just like, screw everyone else that doesn't believe exactly what I believe.
Yeah.
And everyone else yeah. is wrong and stupid.
Like, I mean, I see that even with like science stuff, which is a shame.
Oh my God.
Like, even within like the scientific community, I mean, for example, I almost minored in psychology, but I was gonna fail neuroscience in my senior spring. And I was like, ah, who gives a shit about a minor? Yeah. So I dropped it on the deadline. But yeah, so like I've taken stuff and mm-hmm. like I took evolutionary psychology. It was one of the most interesting mm-hmm. psychology courses I've taken, right?
I can only imagine.
And the thing is, within the scientific community, people who have like, look, I'm not trying to rip on anyone's degree. I think anthropology is very interesting. But mm-hmm. for whatever reason, like people who major in anthropology or anthropologists are very threatened by it, right?
Yeah.
And they try and put a label of racism, like, right. like classism, Darwinism, all this shit. And like, oh, it's a pseudoscience. It's like, it's no more of a pseudoscience than your discipline. Like the point yeah. is that a lot of people, because it's psychology and because it's based on science entirely theoretical and observation based, people right. are just like quick to discredit it. But it's like,
yes.
at the end of the day, the whole thing about anthropology is talking about cultures and stuff like that, right? And culture is inherently an evolutionary mechanism because
agreed.
Culture can't possibly exist unless we evolve it. Yeah. So it's like there's a lot of yes. parallels. It's a really interesting field, but a lot of intellectuals who are even geologists or like paleontologists like to treat it like it's this fake pseudoscience as if their thing isn't.
Right.
And yeah, I think it gets very tribalistic. I'm not saying that like anthropology is fake. I think anthropology is very fascinating, but like,
yes, agreed. I took an anthropology and a sociology class in my college years. I wish I could have continued, but you know, for financial reasons I couldn't, but you know, studying it like on personal, and I know what you read on the internet is not anywhere near comparable to like what you learn in a college, but like, looking into psychology, like evolutionary psychology, like you're saying, even our traditions today in 2020 America still come from our, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, what we basically kind of had to do to survive. Like, why is the mother the like guardian of the nest, and the father, you know, the strong man is the provider, and all this stuff. And those traditions are changing, which happens, but a lot of them still are very obviously based in our cultural evolutionary things and different climates, you know, like desert climates, rainforest climates. They all have very different culture because, you know, that's how the way they survived was different. And you know, sometimes those links are obvious, sometimes they're a little convoluted, but I definitely always, almost always see them. Even like when it comes down to the decisions that we make in our individual lives go back genetically in some form to like a biological reason for it.
Yeah.
I wish I could think of some examples off the
top
of my head.
This is a topic I could talk about for hours. So I think we're safe for another time to go more in depth.
So okay. Brian, before we lose you and everything, do you just want to wrap up by telling us where we can find your book and everything? Sure.
Yeah, sure. So again, my name is Brian Weaver. You can find all of my research on haunted locations and folklore tales throughout the United States on my website. It's called ghostquest.net. You can click on your state. I have an interactive map, and it will alphabetically kind of list you a dictionary of haunted places. And I have three books out on Amazon. And if you go to my website, actually, and just click on the books, it'll take you there. Because the Amazon links, it's like just a bunch of letters and numbers. So my three books are The Folklore and Haunted Locations Guide New York. And then I have another one for Massachusetts and another one for Michigan. And I'm currently working on my fourth book, which is The Folklore and Haunted Locations Guide Texas, which I'm hoping to have out within the next year. And you can find me on YouTube, c/GhostQuestUSA. I do videos that go along with all my my books that I write. You get to see pictures of the locations, and you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook. Send me a message. I love when people say hi. So,
all right.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Brian.
Thanks for letting me just rant for an hour and some minutes.
Seriously, it's
you love it.
Fine with us.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
The monster blood changed direction, still bouncing and quivering and leaving white stains on the grass like enormous round footsteps.
Joe, stop reading it. This is too scary for me.
You're right. It is too scary.
If only we could talk about goosebumps in a way that isn't scary.
Well, guess what, nerds? There might be a podcast like that called Geesebumps.
Geesebumps?
Did you mean goosebumps?
Maybe. Geesebumps is a comedy podcast based on the works of R.L. Stein, hosted by me, Danielle. PhD.
And me, JoJo PhD.
And me, Jeff, regular person.
Featuring goofs, funny voices, and the occasional critical thought.
Geesebumps!
Available on Podbean and everywhere else podcasts can be found.
That was a message from our good friends over at the Geesebumps Podcast. You should check them out. We had a ton of fun recording with them. They're really funny people. They have a great show. So please check them out. And that was a great conversation with Brian as well. You should go check out his books and books, follow him on social media, watch him on YouTube. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
So now let's all jump in to Kid Nation.
So Steve, this was an incredible episode.
Yes. I think this was, even without Taylor doing anything of significance this week, it was good.
It was very good. So the whole theme of this episode, you guys, was about entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are just so fucking bored sitting in Bonanza City. And I really feel bad for them because they're kids and they want to play.
Yeah, but I don't get those. Didn't the town council just buy them all a bunch of public toys?
Yeah, I thought so too.
I was wondering why they weren't playing with those. I mean, sure, baseball kind of sucks to play and to watch. I mean, I'm a baseball fan, but I'll admit it kind of sucks. Okay. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, they probably already had this in mind as, like, episode 9 is going to be about entertainment, so they couldn't show that.
Yeah. I was also wondering, like, to what extent do you think the producers probed them to be bored?
Oh, I'm sure they did. Or what I was thinking is, like, this doesn't all have to happen on the same day. Like, they could be showing footage of them being bored from, like, the first week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We don't know when this footage is from.
Yeah.
It could just be B-roll.
Yeah. The show opens with Sophia just laying on the ground and pretending to be dead. And then all the kids are like, oh, this is so funny. And, like, half of the town comes and lays down there with her.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and there are all these comments, like, Sophia's just, like, running social experiments on this.
I know. I love that.
And then the funniest part was after, like, everyone laid down with her and they were just, like, laying there silently, she just got up and she was like, well, this is boring.
Yeah, I know. That was really funny.
It's pretty funny.
I like Sophia. And she's the best, too, because she already has a gold star, so she has nothing to, like, play for anymore. So she's just there to cause trouble.
Now, though.
What'd you say?
She's kind of mean now, though.
Yeah, but I like her. She's still the most fun.
Yeah. And then they show Jared coming on, who's, like, so weird. And he goes, you know what caused the Dark Ages? They got rid of arts and entertainment.
But yeah.
You're 11 years old. How do you even know what that is?
I have no idea.
He's, like, this sneaky smart kid, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And he says the weirdest shit. It's pretty great.
He really does.
So then DK and some other kids hold a meeting because they're bored. So they literally hold a meeting to tell everyone that they're bored, which is really funny. And they kind of make it the town council's problem, which is really funny because council isn't the reason that they're bored.
Yeah. It's really not. I mean, it's the fact that their parents sent them on the show.
Yeah. Their parents are terrible.
After that, town council's like, all right, let's go to the fucking book and see what the book says. And the book tells them to hold a talent show.
Yeah.
When they said that, I was like, yes.
Yes, I know. And my favorite part is, so when they announced it's going to be a talent show, I think it was Pharaoh or Markle, I don't remember which one, kicked in the air, and I swear to God, the kid tore his groin.
Yeah,
I saw. That was like the most unathletic thing ever. It's really sad and kind of funny.
He got so excited and jumped up and, like, somehow just, like, hurt himself.
I know, he pulled something for sure. So then next thing I wrote is, who's Kenny? I've never heard of Kenny until this episode.
Kenny, the girl?
Yeah, the girl.
Kennedy?
Oh, Kennedy? Oops.
Yeah. So I wrote down, at this point in the episode, I wrote down, Kennedy is going to get the gold star. Because whenever they introduce a new person, and it's, like, showing their personality, you're like, okay, well, why is this random person coming in?
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a little predictable.
Yeah, it is. I wrote this a little later, but I'll jump to it anyway. Do you think that they have cameras, like, following every single kid? Or is it like there's five and some of the good action gets missed?
Oh, I think a lot of the action gets missed.
Oh, that's a shame. We'd probably see some great stuff.
Well, Kennedy, we've literally never met Kennedy before. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, like, wondering if they have all this, like, backlogged footage of Kennedy that they're just not sharing with us.
Maybe. I mean, that would be a lot of footage.
Yeah. I just can't be every single kid because it'd be 40 cameras.
I don't think they have one on every kid. I think they figure out, like, who's the most entertaining.
Yeah, they definitely have done that.
Yeah.
And apparently Taylor is not entertaining anymore because they're not really showing her.
Yeah, once her bitchy storyline had run its course,
threw her to the ground. So, Olivia is going to do stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Which comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, she can be kind of mean and have, like, those zinger one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this isn't totally out of character, but I was a little scared about, like, how mean she was going to be to Anjay.
Yeah, I know. I thought she was going to be really mean, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
And then Craig and his buddy, what the hell's his name? His friend is, like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't ever do anything. He's just a goon. But Craig and his buddy are doing Romeo and Juliet, which is fucking hysterical.
Yeah. And Jared is also performing Shakespeare.
Yes. Which is insane because, like, who the hell was reading Shakespeare that young?
And where did he get that book? Did he bring it?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I have no idea.
Maybe they got it with the holy books.
Maybe.
That they literally never touch.
I could see people make an argument that Shakespeare is a holy book of high school English classes.
For like middle school English teachers, that's their holy book.
Yeah, it is definitely the holy book for English teachers in high school.
Yes. So another interesting kind of subplot is Greg is mad at the rest of the blue team because they're upper class and the girls aren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
he proposes throwing the showdown so they get laborers and the girls actually have to work.
Yeah, teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
Which I thought was actually a pretty noble move because he's willing to sacrifice his leisure to teach them a lesson.
Yeah. And they already win all of the challenges. So it's like, might as well just, you know, have a week where we actually have to work hard.
And it was Natasha and Miguel who weren't working at all. Mm-hmm. And Miguel had the most insane quote that I wrote down. She said, in reference to being best friends with Natasha, she said, "We became best friends right away. We talk about clothes. We talk about boys. Everything there is to talk about."
That's the most, like, girl thing to say.
Blaine is his friend's name. His name is Blaine.
Blaine.
That's Greg's, like, goon of a friend who has long blonde hair.
I feel like I've literally never heard that name before, but I believe you.
They're the ones who are saying they're going to throw the challenge so they'd have to work.
Yeah.
Which I think is a smart move.
It can be and it can't be. And then they told Andre about it and Andre was like, no.
No, he's like, you guys are the only ones who can actually do any physical activities.
And he's like, you realize that means that all of us will have to work? And Greg was like, yeah.
He was like, yeah, this is how this works.
Yes, Andre.
The next real thing that happens is the challenge. That challenge was awful.
Yeah.
I hated that challenge. Oh, and also, fun fact, I didn't realize that Karina's literally never won.
I know.
I thought they've won at least once.
No, they had never won. So the challenge for everyone listening. So the council members are standing at like a color by number board. And
their
team has to go get gumballs, chew the gumballs. So they become just like sticky gum, hand their chewed gum to the town council leader who will put the appropriate gum on the color by number board.
Ugh, it was so disgusting.
And the whole time I was just like, in COVID times.
It was nasty in normal times with COVID. It was nauseating.
I mean, we don't even get that close to human beings now. And now they're like collecting their team of like 12 kids spit in their hands.
Ugh. Oh, it was so nasty. Just having them spit into their hands. They had to chew gum for an hour, which can't be good for their jaws.
No, that has to hurt. But what I was thinking was they kind of have been like totally isolated. So probably nobody's sick.
Mm-hmm. But it's still, it's just disgusting.
It's nasty.
Spit. Ugh. That's a question I never thought about. What would they do if someone got sick?
I'm sure they have. I mean, like.
They must have medics. They can't let the kids handle that. That's a lawsuit.
No, they have to have medics on board for people who get sick or hurt, which I'm sure would happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're like kids working with like knives for the first time in their life. Like.
Oh, yeah. They definitely cut that stuff out, though. You don't want to see a kid chopping their finger off.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the most disgusting challenge I ever watched. Also, did you catch when the host guy called Andre AJ?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he called him AJ.
During the challenge?
Yeah, and then he called him Andre, like, a minute later.
That's funny.
Yeah. So just the breakdown. Green got the upper class. Blue was the merchant class. Red are the cooks. And yellow didn't even finish.
Which really cost them some big prizes.
I thought it was kind of mean that they show them the prizes, even though they're not going to get them.
I know, but it's a TV show. They have to.
Yeah.
So their choices were paint Bonanza City
mm-hmm.
or a all night block party.
Honestly, I think both kind of suck, but like, I think I'd rather go block party than paint the city.
You'd have to go with the block party. The block party sounds so fun.
I know, compared to the other thing, definitely.
Paint the city, I was like, that's a chore.
Yeah, that's an additional chore, and I get no joy out of that.
No, but you know the town council will be like, well, we do need some new color around here.
Yeah, you know, I think the town would be much happier if we gave them extra work to do.
Yeah, they always try to be so practical, like to a fault.
I know. Okay, so then they start the... Oh, actually, before we go, they quickly show Taylor doing laundry, which I thought was out of character.
Yeah, and she was like, I've been doing laundry all day.
It's like, what?
She probably felt bad for being, like, so disparaging to her.
Yeah, I know. They're really... But she was also really bad.
She was, but... They probably edited the worst of her, which sucks.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. All right. So then they have the talent show. And Olivia said that she was nervous because she's never done stand-up before in front of a crowd. And I thought that you're 12 years old, Olivia. There's no way in hell you've ever done stand-up before, period.
Yeah.
You're 12.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Okay, so then Markel is the MC. He's doing a pretty good job, I thought.
Great job, yeah.
So then Kelsey goes up, and she played piano really well.
Yes, she actually did a baller job, and they just, like, glossed over it. They're like, oh, yeah, she just played, like, in a very impressive Chopin thing. Let's move on.
Yeah, I know. And then Jared went on to do his little monologue. And what I don't understand is he was stressing out about not being able to memorize it. Let's get real here. These kids are like 15 and younger. You could have made some shit up, and the chance that they've read Hamlet or whatever it was are so slim.
They would have literally no idea.
I've been through high school and college, and I've barely read any Shakespeare. So you could have made shit up that sounded legit, and I would have believed it.
I mean, even someone who really studies Shakespeare, they don't know every Shakespeare.
Yeah. Like, you could have just made something up. I don't know why he was so concerned.
What I thought was really funny was before that, this one kid gets up there and is like, this is dedicated to my bird.
Wait, what? I must have missed that.
You didn't? Did you skip through that part?
I didn't skip anything. I just...
It was, you know, very quick.
You know what happened? I did grab my phone, my computer charger at one point. I must have missed it for like a second.
Yeah, so he gets up there and he goes, well, this one's dedicated to my bird.
Oh. Yeah, I actually remember that. You made that, I think, yeah. Oh,
he just, like, he, like, chirped twice and then went and sat down.
I forgot about that. That was so funny. I forgot all about that one.
Yeah. And then Jared goes, and then Greg comes out with his friend and in a dress, and they just, like, walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. They had fun.
Yeah.
The next was Kenny, who just danced and was really cringy, but at least she was having fun.
So this actually gave me a flashback.
All right.
To when I was in, I think, fifth grade, I went to soccer camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a week-long sleepaway soccer camp. And there was a talent show, and I was there with three of my friends, and they were all really good at singing. So they got up there and did, like, a, you know, Kobe Calais bubbly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So they all got up there and sang that song, and it was, like, really good and whatever. And so I was like, well, I can't sing. So, like, I can't join my friends. I have to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Steve. I got up there and made up a rap about a platypus.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, bopping all around the stage. And, like, I must have looked so fucking psycho. But people went nuts for it.
Like, that's good.
Everybody loved it. And I really identified with Kennedy in that moment. Because, like, that's exactly what she did. She made up a rap and then was, like, just... dancing like a fool.
Yeah, that was really funny. I appreciated that. I appreciate the confidence that comes with that.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're not a confident person.
Well, you just got to go for it. It's like...
Yeah. If you can't sing and you can't dance, do something in between.
Just do both.
I think that's the end of the show, right?
Well...
The talent show, I mean.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, no, Olivia did stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I think that wrapped up the show, right? The talent show?
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good?
It wasn't good, but she wasn't mean, and people thought she was funny. So mm-hmm. It was a success.
She put herself out there. I would never want to do something like that at her age, especially.
Yeah. Power to her.
12 is like the worst age, because that's when you're the most self-conscious.
Yeah.
And yeah, that would be a nightmare.
It's hard. That's really hard.
So good for her on that.
Then it's the town council.
Yeah, this is the town council. I like how they vote on who should get the star now. I think that's better than Taylor just running the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So then at the town meeting at the end, DK makes Laurel sing, and she's really good, actually.
She was really good.
She should have been in the talent show. She's a phenomenal singer.
Laurel definitely deserves a gold star, but she can't get one.
I know. She should leave the council just so she can get a gold star.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe at the end there's like a super gold star.
$100 million. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. So then no one ends up leaving and Kennedy wins the gold star.
Yeah, which, I mean, I get it. I'm not necessarily sure that she deserved it.
I'm not really sure anyone deserved it this week.
Yeah, and she wasn't even the best at the talent show. She got up there and she was herself, but what is she even doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that she deserved to win. But I don't really have anyone, a clear winner who should have won.
I thought it was better than, because Olivia was the other contender, and I'm glad that she didn't get it because she hasn't been very nice to people.
Uh-huh.
So
the whole thing they say is they want someone who's like nice and cheers people up.
Yeah.
Kennedy had a really nice call with her mom. Her mom was like crying and was actually happy, and it made me happy.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Like, it was a very sweet conversation and she seemed genuinely surprised.
Even though there was a camera crew there.
Yeah. But they both were crying just like, I miss you.
Yeah, that was so pleasant. Yeah. I mean, because a mom should still miss their kid and be really excited to talk to them. More than almost 30 days since I last saw them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So... even if they know it's coming, they should be, in theory, they should be crying and excited.
Yeah. So that kind of wraps up the episode, I think.
Yeah, I think that was the end of Kid Nation. So thank you guys all for tuning in. And yeah.
Yeah.
You can find us on social media at podcast_misfits for Instagram and Twitter.
And you can also find our blogs on our website. It's misfitsandmysteries.com.
We also have a newsletter coming out, which you can sign up on our website. It should be coming out probably next week. We're going to have a bunch of great stuff in there. Because it's January, we're probably going to do a best of the podcast, best of blogs, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to highlight some of our good friends of the show. So please check it out. Subscribe on our website. You can also find us on YouTube at Misfits and Mysteries Podcast. Or maybe it's just Misfits and Mysteries, actually. I forget.
You'll find us.
Yeah, you'll find us. Just have Misfits and Mysteries.
And remember to check out Brian at ghostquest.net and also check out his new book that just came out.
Yeah, his new book. And I guess, as always, stay spooky, Misfits.
Stay spooky.